Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. Proverbs chapter 29. Beginning with verse 12, we'll read responsively through verse 18. The 18th verse is the text verse for tonight's message. Page 693, Proverbs 29. There's some keys that were found in the east stairwell right over here in this corner of the building. There are about a dozen keys on the key ring, some Ford keys, and also a blue postage return tag on the keys. If they're your keys, they're on this stand that sits between preacher and myself, and you may pick them up after the service. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the passage. We'll read responsively verses 12 through 18. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And let's read the 18th together. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And let's pray. And Father,
I started to whistle, but I thought I probably shouldn't. It wouldn't be appropriate right now. Just don't you do any whistling over there in the choir, that's all. The message tonight will be not real preachy. It'll not be the usual kind of a Sunday night message. I'm talking to you on that one little line, where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to explain before I pray the meaning of that verse, of that line. It is not basically saying if you have no vision, you'll perish. It's talking about if a leader has no vision for his people will perish. It deals with a man who leads people should have vision for them. And I want to speak tonight a very, very pastoral kind of a message on that subject. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Before I pray, let me say this. It would be very easy for someone who is a visitor to come to the First Baptist Church Hammond and think of us as being somewhat frivolous, because you are accustomed to the kind of church where people come from every walk of life, perhaps for an hour, hour and 15 minutes on Sunday morning, look up to God and say, howdy, we love you, we're glad you're up there, and thanks a lot for the week, and go away to leave church out of their life for the rest of the week. But you don't understand us here. Our lives are built around this church. This is our second home. No, this is not a cult. It's a group of people who love God and who want to rear their children in the nurture and admonition of God. And so forgive us if we act a little more at home than you're accustomed to. And tonight, I'll address that just a bit. Father, bless the discussion tonight. I pray that I'll have the attention of all the people. This is going to be unusual, but I pray that you'd help us to be attentive. In Jesus' name, amen. What a responsibility it is for me. But there is no vision, the people perish. That means if I have no vision for you, you'll perish. That doesn't mean that you'll die and go to hell. It means that it's up to me to have vision for you. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about some visions that I have. I want to first mention some visions I do not have. I do not, nor have I ever had visions about the size of this church. I never have any one time since I've been pastor of this church had visions about how many people attend. I want to have crowds, and I thank God for the great crowds that come here. But I do not have any visions tonight about how many we have in attendance 5 years from now or 10 years from now. I do have a vision that I want us to have everybody we can and reach everybody we can reach, and get everybody out of hell we can get out of hell, and save everybody we can from the fires of hell. But I have no vision at all tonight, nor have I ever had, for the size numerically, of this church. I have no vision tonight for the size of our schools, none whatsoever. I have no goals. I know about one preacher who built a Christian school, sort of nominally so, who said he had a goal of 50,000 students someday. I don't have that goal at all. Fellows, be seated back in the back, if you would, please. No standing around the back. And I don't have that goal. I have no goal for the enrollment of Hiles Anderson College or any of our schools. That's not a part. Nor do I have any vision concerning our buildings. I have never been a master plan kind of a fellow. I've never put in the lobby of the church our future building program because I don't know what they are. I never have been that way. I have no visions about the buildings that we'll have either here or on the campus at the schools, campuses. I have no vision about that at all. Never have. I stood out here one Friday night and Saturday morning. I think it was Friday and Saturday, Friday night. I was called about 1 o'clock and I was in the morning and told that our church was on fire. We're talking about now, good night. We're talking about 26 years ago, I guess. And I stood across the street over there and watched our old auditorium burn. This building was here from right here. There's a wall right here. And this building was here. And it was only a few weeks old. I imagine 12, 13 weeks old. And there was a building over here, an old building over here, and it burned. And the old auditorium burned. Both those buildings connected to this brand new building. And I saw this brand new building. We had worked for months and months and maybe 2 years to make it a reality. I saw this building that high in water. I saw this building. I was in here, and you couldn't see your hand in front of you hardly because of the smoke. I saw the firemen take axes and chop holes in the wall back here. And I stayed out there all a night and all the next day watching our buildings burn. Never shed one tear. Never shed a tear. One of our dormitories at Hiles Anderson College was burned in a total loss. We had to rebuild it. But nearly. But I never shed a tear. But I have shed many tears because of lives that have been wrecked and ruined in this building. I said this morning, I said again, I wouldn't give one of our young people for this entire auditorium. And I'd rather see this auditorium crumble tonight than to see your life crumble. I have no goals about the buildings. My motto, for 43 years, I adopted this motto as a young preacher 43 years ago for my ministry. And this is it. I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. That'd be a wonderful motto for all you young preachers to adopt for your ministry. I will not use my people to build my work. I'll use my work to build my people. Now, this won't mean anything to you, but it does to me. I travel all across this country every year. I go from the Florida Keys to Alaska and from San Diego to Maine every year. I travel this country. I never sell a book. I never sell a tape. I never mention Hiles Anderson College, never pass out any brochures. I never do. And the reason I don't is because I'm not there to promote my work when I'm somewhere. I'm there to help them and be what they need me to be. Now, I'm not against it. Folks sell tapes here. I'm not against that. I myself just do not do it. And I'm not opposed to it. I think probably maybe I should. But my job is to help people and reach people and grow people and so forth. And my motto is I will not use my people to build my work, but I'll use my work to build my people. Now, I have some visions tonight, and I want to share these visions with you. I want you to listen on purpose tonight. I want you to quit your talking, quit your whispering, sit up, listen carefully. I have some visions I want to share with you. I have some visions first for our local young people. I'm not talking now about the high school Bible club kids, though I love them dearly. I'm not talking about the bus kids right now. I'm talking about the local young people who have grown up in First Baptist Church of Hammond, whose moms and dads are Sunday school teachers and choir members and deacons and faithful attenders to our church. I'm talking about them. I have a vision, some visions for them, or a vision for them. I have a vision that every one of you will be clean and pure. I have a vision that every one of you young ladies and grown up in First Baptist Church will walk that aisle right there someday
to get married, and you'll be as clean and pure as you were the day that you were born. I have a vision that you young men, when you stand up here beside me, and then here comes the bride and the wedding march is played, and you walk down and extend your arm to that young lady, I have a vision that you'll look at her and can say truthfully, I've saved myself for you. I'm clean, I'm pure, I'm chaste, and I'm virgin, and I've saved myself for you. I have a vision that every teenager in First Baptist Church of Hammond will not sit around watching the dirty television programs at prime time and not sit around watching the sex-oriented programs. And I hope you'll keep your mind clean and your mind pure. And I hope you'll walk the aisle, and when you say, I do, to the one that God has chosen for you, you can look at him and say, I'm pure, I've saved myself for you. Well, you say, that's old fogey. Well, then count me in as being old fogey. Well, that's old-fashioned. Count me in as being old-fashioned. I want to say this tonight. The best young people in America are turned out at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Every once in a while, somebody will go visit our Hammond Baptist High School, and then they'll go visit the City Baptist School. And I thank God for both of them. I'm not magnifying one over another. But the City Baptist crowd is a little more excited than the Hammond Baptist kids are. The bus kid high school, a little wilder, more like Howells Anderson College, a little wacky, you know, a little nutty. Not quite as nutty as Howells Anderson College, but people will say, well, we're going to turn better kids out at City Baptist. There are Hammond Baptists. Oh, no, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. You're not going to take a child and train him right and put him in the nursery when he's born and then put him in the beginners and then the primaries and juniors and junior high and high school and have him sing in the junior choir and the primary choir and the beginner choir and the youth choir. Have him go on children's activities and youth activities and have him hear me preach 2 or 3 times a week for 18 years. He may get old to him and he may get used to it. He won't be as excited as a fella that just came in contact with this last week. But I guarantee you, brother, he'll turn out better kids that way than anywhere in the whole world. Don't you sell these Hammond Baptist kids short. And don't you sell these First Baptist kids short. Don't you do it. I'll guarantee you, more preacher boys come from First Baptist Church of Hammond than any two churches in America. And more young people surrender full-time Christian service at First Baptist Church of Hammond than any church in America. I have a vision. I have a vision for our teenagers that grow up here. I have a vision you'll be clean. I have a vision you'll come to the altar virgin. I have a vision that you'll always be in the center of the will of God. I have a vision that you'll marry a godly person. I have a vision that you won't date unconverted or immoral young people. I have a vision that you'll marry someone as clean and as pure as you are. I have a vision that you'll have a Christian home. I have a vision that many of you will be in full-time Christian service. I have a vision that you'll be deacons and Sunday school teachers and preachers and choir members when you grow up. I have a vision that every one of you growing up in First Baptist Church of Hammond, you teenagers, have a vision that you will be soul winners when you grow up and become adults. I have a vision that you'll have a country that's free like our country is tonight. I have a vision that you'll have churches like this all over America that because of your preacher and your church here at First Baptist Church of Hammond, sending out preachers all across this nation, I trust and pray that America will stay free so you will be free to go to a church like this and a school like we have. I have a vision. I have a vision that some of you will stay here and be deacons and Sunday school teachers here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. I was just a few days ago out in the state of Michigan. And on 2 occasions I was there, and at both occasions I saw John and Linda Vaprisan. Grew up in our church. That's what I want you young folks to be. John's pastor of a church, fine church in Michigan, doing a wonderful work, and Linda Vaprisan. Sailors, listen to me. Hey, sailors, look right this way. Listen to me. I don't know whether the admiral can keep you straight or not, but the pastor can, I'll guarantee you. And so I'm simply saying that I have a vision that we'll have John Linda Vaprisans. I have a vision that I saw Dave Biter, their youth director there at that church. I have a vision that many of you will be Dave Biters. The other day I saw Joyce Phillips, one of our young ladies, grew up here. And I'm thinking about out in New Jersey, Pam Miller. Used to be Pam Wober. She's the one that has them one at a time. And Ray Bordways and Barbara Mox and Eddie and Jamie Lapinas and Terry Duffs. And others here in this church. That's what I want you to be. Let me tell you something, young people. Don't you swallow the devil's line. Don't you do it. Don't you swallow the devil's lie. You be clean. You be pure. I have a vision. Put your hand. I have a vision. I have a vision not only for our young, local young people. I have a vision for our bus kids. Where there's no vision, the people perish. If that's the case, First Baptist Church kids that grow up here, you'll not perish because Brother Hiles has a vision for you. And I have given and am giving and will continue to give my life for you. I have a vision for our bus kids. I have a vision that there'll be a place here at First Baptist Church of Hammond as long as this church stands, even if after I've gone to heaven, I have a vision there'll be a place where you can come where there is joy and happiness and peace and where folks love you. I have a vision that always, as long as this church is here, an escape from the dreariness of the ghettos and the gangs and the sin in the ghettos. I have a vision there's always be this bright and happy and cheerful place where you can come and be loved and cared for and find one place in the world where you're somebody. And I want to say this also. As long as I'm pastor here, every bus kid will be as much somebody as every kid that's grown up in First Baptist Church of Hammond. I have a vision for you bus kids. I have a vision that you will feel loved while you're here. I have a vision for you to break the fetters of the ghettos. I have a vision for you, bus kids, that you'll become ladies and gentlemen and become, in every sense of the word, ladies and gentlemen. I have a vision that you'll graduate from school and go to Hiles Anderson College and get a Christian education and make us proud of you. I have a vision that you'll be clean and pure. But you say, preacher, I can't be clean and pure. I've already sold myself. I was not taught like you teach here. I was not trained like you're trained here. I'm already immoral. I've already given myself. I'm not a virgin. But let me tell you something. When you came to Christ, God forgave every sin you ever committed. And as far as God's concerned in heaven, your sins are blotted out of His book. They're charged to Jesus Christ and the sight of God Almighty. You're pure. Now you stay that way. I have a vision that from here on in, you'll be clean. Go back to the ghettos and show them what the power of the gospel can do. Go back to the ghettos and show them what Jesus Christ can do to a life in the ghettos. I have a vision that you'll be happy Christians and have happy Christian homes that you didn't get to have as you were growing up. I have a vision that you bus kids will know there's one place you can come where a man stands up in the pulpit that sometimes gets a little rough, but he loves you with all of his heart. And that's one reason why he's rough. He wants you to grow up and be somebody. He wants you to be happy and have happy homes and rear good children and have what you didn't get to have. I was out in Cheyenne, Wyoming, preaching. And the music director walked up and said, "Brother Hiles, I want you to see my wife." Well, I knew her. I knew the whole story, but I was reminded about it. Here's the fellow assistant pastor, music director of a fine church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And guess who his wife was? His wife was a little kid that when she was a little bitty girl, she came on one of our buses from Chicago ghettos. And she kept coming. And she grew up coming to First Baptist Church of Hammond on our buses. And she learned how to wear dresses instead of pants and shorts. And she learned how to dress modestly and how to be a lady and how to walk and how to sit. And there she was out in Cheyenne, Wyoming, as the wife of the assistant pastor of that fine church out in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Out in California tonight, there's an evangelist. That evangelist has a lovely wife. Was one of our bus kids. Came to our church and was one of our bus kids. Listen, all across this nation tonight, young people who've grown up on our buses and ridden these old buses to church and Sunday school, sometimes for 10, 15, 20 years. And this has been their church all across America. They're serving God tonight. I have a vision for you, kids. I have a vision for you that you'll be all that God wants you to be. I have a vision not only for our own Hammond Baptist local young people. I have a vision not only for our bus kids. I have a vision for our senior citizens. Because I are one. I have a vision that this church will always be a place for you to come and have a happy place to come. I have a vision that it'll be a place where you can be reminded that God loves you and cares for you in your sunset years. I have a vision that heaven will become real to you in First Baptist Church of Hammond. I have a vision that will help you not give up, but to keep on going. I think about dear Mrs. McCarroll. I'm trying to breathe life into her now. I want her to keep on going. I don't want her to give up because Wally's in heaven. I want her to keep on going. And I want there to be a place where you, dear senior saints, can come and you can feel like you're loved and cared for and somebody will encourage you. And I hope there's a place here. As long as I'm here, I have a vision for this, and after I'm gone, a place where you can come and gain strength every Sunday morning and gain strength every Sunday night, and where you can gain strength to keep on going and keep on pushing on. I have a vision for our senior citizens, for you to have a vision for your future, for you to continue to be used of God, for you to enjoy life and be well enough to stay active. For those here when I came to realize that this is your work and not mine, to know that your preacher loves you. I have a vision for the senior citizens to feel that your preacher loves you with all of his heart. Let me tell you a story I heard recently that encouraged my heart. I think you'll know why in a minute. Does the name Wealthy Street Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan mean anything to you? Dr. David Otis Fuller was there for many years and built a great church there. But before Dr. Fuller was there, there was another man. He was there for 8 to 10 years. Now hold it, let me tell you something. Had a good ministry for 8 to 10 years. And he left the church and went to another church and was gone for 10 years. After 10 years at the other church, he came back. We're going way back yonder now. Before Dr. Fuller came, I'm guessing the early part of this century, this man came back to the Wealthy Street Baptist Church after 10 years away. He was about 10 years pastor, 10 years away. He came back and was there for 20 more years before he died. And that man had his greatest years those last 20 years. Now, here's what encourages me. I found out the other day he was 64 years old when he came back. 64 years old when he came back. And the greatest 20 years that church had in its life up till then was those the 20 years after he came back. Man, it made me go get some vitamins and take them and want to keep on going for another 20 years. But listen, I want you. I have a vision for you senior citizens. I have a vision that you'll feel as important as you really are. Not only do I have a vision for our senior citizens, our local young people, for our bus kids, but I have a vision tonight for our families rearing children here in this area. I'm talking about those young couples and middle-aged couples in the busy years of your life with little children growing up and going about the busy activities of life. In the first place, I have a vision that you'll know how proud of you I am. I saw those young ladies sing this morning. Kathy and Long and David Jones and Cindy Lale, the trio in my Sunday school class. All three of them grew up here in our church. All three of them are now adults and useful in the service of God. And that makes me proud. That's what it's all about. And I think about those of you who are rearing your children. My vision for you is to know how proud of you I am. My vision is to help you rear your children to be like you. My vision is for you to have wisdom to rear them. My vision is for you to have a healthy marriage and have healthy children. My vision for you is to stay happily married the rest of your life with the same guy you're married to now. My vision for you is to guide this church to stay as it is even after I'm gone. My vision is for you to stay at First Baptist Church through thick and thin and rear your children here. I thought a while ago as Miss Colston walked up here. It's hard for me to believe she was 19 years old, I guess, or 20 when you came here. 20? How old are you now? Hold it. But I mean, they just got married. John was still overseas, and I heard so much about him, I didn't even want to meet him. Boy, was I ever let down. But anyway, but I thought, we've grown old together. We were kids, young people. I mean, I in my early 30s, and they in their early 20s. And Miss Colston was a young school teacher. What school? Lincoln School here in Hammond when she came here. And there are hundreds of us like that. I mean, we've had reasons to get mad at each other, but we're married to each other. I don't mean Miss Colston and I are married to each other. I mean, we're family. You don't, people that are decent, we don't leave family. We're here. We've grown up together. And my vision for you young and middle-aged couples, stay at First Baptist Church through thick and thin. when I'm alive, when I'm gone. Stay with the stuff and keep this old. Listen, there's not a church like this in the world. Not a one like this in the world. And the world needs this church more than she needs any other church in the world. And so stay here and help guide and help direct this church. And do your part to keep the old church downtown what she's always been. I have a vision for you that you not drift away as you get more fluent. Such a temptation. Such a temptation. As you get a nicer home, become more important in the place where you work. Become an executive, maybe, where you work. Or your business flourishes, and you drive a nice car, or have two or three cars, and a beautiful $150,000, $200,000, or $250,000 home, as many folks do. As you get affluent, keep believing the old Bible we preached here all these years. Don't get highbrow. Don't go to some formal church that just has a formal ritualistic worship service on Sunday morning. Stay here in the old First Baptist Church of Hammond. And if we keep on preaching hellfire and damnation, as we keep on reaching folks for God, as we keep on throwing out the old lifeline across the dark wave to reach folks who need to be saved. I think of those who've grown old here, or older, and senior citizens now. See, you understand, you folks that are young. When I came here 31 years ago, we were your age. I'm talking about the Glenn and Ivan May Smiths. I'm talking about the L.J. and Bessie Powers. I'm talking about the John and Madeline Penleys. I'm talking about the Bob and Meredith Proppers. And many, many others. We've been here all these years. And that's what I want you to do. I don't want you liking new folks more than you like old folks. I don't want you having to change all the time. I mean, I'm not talking about if I'm here. If I'm gone, stay with the stuff here at the old First Baptist Church. I have a vision not only for our First Baptist young people, for our bus kids, for our senior citizens, for our middle-aged and young married people rearing their children, but I have a vision for our college students in the dormitories. I have a vision for you young folks to be happy here. I have a vision for you to feel loved because you are loved. As you've heard me say at the college, you will find a college that has a more intellectual chancellor. You could find a college that has a more wealthy college. You could find a college that has nicer dormitories. But you could never find a college where you'll be loved like you're loved here at Howells Anderson College. Never, never, never. I want you to feel loved. I want you, my vision for you while you're in the dormitories here at our college is to learn to love your parents back home more than you ever have. My vision for you is for you to love your pastor and your church back home more than you ever have. My vision for you is to stay pure and clean and honorable. My vision for you is to find God's choice in a mate. Or for any you ladies, just find a mate. This is the year of the date. Year of the date. Year of the date. The year of the date. I'm a-gonna catch me one. The year of the date. Sing it, girls. The year of the date. Come on. The year of the date. I'm a-gonna catch me one. The year of... You freeze up at the mouth when you get in a real battle. Get out there at the college in the chapel, just the girls out there, and you scream and you holler, and you sit there like a bunch of wooden Indians at an Episcopalian convention, Now's the time to holler the year of the date. And I want you to find a good Christian young man. And I want you young men to find a good, clean Christian young lady. Then I want you to leave here and turn this nation upside down for God. That's my vision for you. I want you to know that your preacher loves you. I was out in Phoenix, Arizona preaching. I'm sorry, Flagstaff, Arizona. I drove after the service that night. It was the national convention where I preached. I drove after the service that night to Phoenix. I got to Phoenix about 12 o'clock at night. It was 109 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona. But it was also hot here. And having a real hot spell here. And I could not stay in an air-conditioned room while our dormitory people were out there in those scorching hot dormitories. And that night I turned the air conditioner off for 30 seconds. I turned the air conditioner off that night all night long. Why? Because I did not want to live in luxury while you were living out there suffering. Now listen to me. I have a vision. Howells Anderson College is not an uh-oh. I just didn't want something one day want a college. God in heaven wanted to start a college here to train young people to go up and down this country and turn this country upside down for God. Have a vision. Have a vision not only for our First Baptist young people, for our bus kids, our senior citizens, our couples rearing their families, our college dormitory students, but have a vision tonight for our mission men. Have a vision tonight that you men will use the rest of your lives for God. Have a vision tonight that you'll know that we look you straight in the eye and don't look down on you, and that you're as good in the sight of God as we are. I have a vision tonight that you'll know that you're as welcome here as the wealthiest person that sits in one of these pews tonight. I have a vision for you to have a happy future. I have a vision for you to realize that your sins are forgiven. I have a vision for you to realize that your preacher loves you. I think of the rescue mission. I think of Bill Bossinger. He used to clean my office. I think of Jess LaQuire. He used to clean this auditorium. I think of Pete. I think of Forrest Ranger. One of the funniest stories ever heard. A guy named Forrest Ranger. Brother Colston was the superintendent of the mission. He was down here on Calumet Street before he set it on fire. And burned it. But this guy walks in the mission, and he says, "What's your name?" He said, "You won't believe it." And Brother Colston, "Yes, I will, son. What's your name?" He said, "You won't believe it." He said, "What is your name?" He said, "You won't believe it." He said, "I will too. What is it?" He said, "Forrest Ranger." John said, "I don't believe it." I think of those men. Let me tell you something, folks. But for the grace of God, you could be right up there in that mission group tonight. And you're not sitting out there and them sitting up there because you're better than they are. It so happened God gave you a godly mother or a godly father or a good Christian home or a godly Sunday school teacher. You crossed the path of somebody who loved you and convinced you to serve God. And but for the grace of God, you'd be like that. And instead of looking down at them, you ought to look them square in the eye and say, "Praise God for how good God's been to me." Have a vision. You men to realize that you're gentlemen as far as I'm concerned. And that your preacher loves you with all of his heart. Have a vision for our handicapped people, our blind, our deaf, our eligible slow. I have a vision that this place will always be a haven for you, a happy place where you can be with your own. I have a vision that there'll always be a Maxine Jeffries and a Bill Shutt and a deaf ministry and a great crowd of deaf folks like we have here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. I have a vision that we'll always have a Marge Denny and somebody that loves the blind people here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. I have a vision we'll always have an Atkinson family that loves the Pathfinders and the educable slow people. And I have a vision that educable slow people can come here and they can feel a place where they can be happy and where they can feel a place where they're loved and cared for and just as important as anybody else. And I have a vision that you'll know your preacher loves you. I also have a vision tonight for our married college students. I have a vision that you know that I hurt with you when you sacrifice. I have a vision that you'll tough it out and make it through. I have a vision that you'll feel how important you are to me. I have a vision that you ladies will stand beside your husbands. I mean through thick and thin. Hey, listen to me. You did say when you got married, "I take thee to my wedded husband to have and to hold." Now, a lot of you ladies are not holding him enough. It did say have and to hold. Amen, fellas? That's preaching. To have and to hold from this day forward. Are you listening? For better, for worse, for richer, or poorer, in sickness, in health, to love and cherish till I don't love you anymore. No. Love and cherish till I have a dirty apartment that's up in the attic. No. To love and to cherish till you become a preacher. No. To love and to cherish till death do us part. I have a vision that when you young ladies who are married, these preacher boys and Howells Anderson College men, when you walk across this platform, you can look up at him and say to him and me, honey, I was the best wife I could be to you. I held your hand. I encouraged your heart. And I was his best wife I could be. Have a vision, young ladies, that you'll be proud of yourself when graduation time comes. I have a vision that you young men will be thoughtful of your wives. I mentioned that last night. Have a vision that you'll be able to spend some time with your children. Have a vision that you'll feel like this is your church too, like it's ours, and to know that your preacher loves you. I see you as you come on Saturday morning. I see you ladies coming to soul winning. You got one in each arm, one hanging on to your skirt, and from looks of the things, one on the way. I mean, you got them coming and going. And you come up here, and I think, God bless those people. Most of them have lived in some little apartment somewhere, and sometimes in an attic or a basement somewhere. But those ladies are coming up here to go out soul winning. You're not kidding me. You're not coming to go out soul winning. You're coming because somebody's going to take care of your kids for 4 hours. That's why you're coming here. But I thank God for you. I'm proud of you. Great army of young ladies in this church. You say, listen to me now. Great armies of young ladies in this church who stand beside their husbands. Anybody can wash out. Anybody can say, I'm going to go back to mother. Anybody can say, I'm going to go home. Anybody can say, I'm not happy here. In the first place, God didn't make you to be happy. God made you to make Him happy. I have a vision for those who work for me, most of whom are much younger than I. I have a vision for you to know that I think about your future. I have a vision for you to know that when Brother Howells gets sick, it causes you to become insecure. I have a vision for you to know that Brother Howells is grateful for the way that you stand with him. I have a vision for you to have the greatest ministry that God can give you while I'm alive and after I've gone to heaven. I have a vision for you to have faith to believe that God has something great for you. And the same God that's led you to work with me here can lead you somewhere else when I'm gone, or lead you to stay here and lead somebody else here to lead you when I'm gone. I have a vision that you'll realize and be aware of the greatness of the task that God has given us here. Nobody's ever had a task, an opportunity like we have. Nobody. Nobody. Never been a church in the history of this country had the opportunity we have to influence a whole nation and a whole world. While I'm standing here preaching tonight, literally hundreds, over 300, I think, of our own Howells Anderson boys are preaching and pastoring churches around the country, not including the missionaries and the assistant pastors and music directors and evangelists. I mean, like a mighty army tonight, we're standing all across this nation at the same time proclaiming the message of God. What an opportunity we have here. Let's seize upon it. We only live one time. We only live one time. We'll not have this opportunity again. Let's seize upon it. I have a vision for us together to be used to help preserve America. And I have a vision for you folks who work as members of the staff in any of our ministries here to know that your preacher loves you and appreciates you and thanks God for your faithfulness and your love and your loyalty. I have a vision tonight for our public school kids. I have a vision for you to realize how important you are to us. I have a vision for you to live good, clean Christian lives. You've not had the opportunity to have the kind of training that many of our young folks have had, but you do have it now. I want you to have a vision that you'll realize that God has forgiven you and that I want you to forget your sins of the past because God has and quit reminding Him of them. I have a vision that you'll go to a Christian college, one out in Crown Point, Indiana is my preference. I have a vision you'll have a happy home. Have a vision you'll let God use you. Have a vision for you to keep on growing in the Lord. I have a vision for you to be faithful on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to all the services of the First Baptist Church. That goes for everybody. I have a vision that you'll take time to pray and read the Bible. You won't become a good Christian just because you come to church. Listen to me now. Young couples, listen to me over here. Hey, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. You've talked enough for one night. Listen to me. I've got something to tell you. Make love when you get home. Have a vision that you'll realize you need to read the Bible and pray and come to church faithfully. I have a vision that you'll realize your preacher loves you and he's proud of you. I don't only have a vision for them, but I have a vision for our babies and tiny tots in the nurseries tonight. I have a vision for this church to remain the same. I'm talking about 50 years from now, the old First Baptist Church takes the same stand she takes tonight. I'm talking about 50 years from now, we preach the same pure, unadulterated gospel of salvation by grace through faith and nothing else. Not lordship salvation, not a work salvation, not a denomination salvation, not a church salvation, but a Jesus salvation. I have a vision that 50 years from tonight, or 100 years from tonight, the old church downtown preaches the same message she preaches tonight. I have a vision she'll still believe the King James Bible like we believe it tonight. Have a vision, let the other people use the Amplified. Let the other people use the American Standard. Let the other people use the Revised Standard, the Living Bible, the NIV, and all the rest of it. Brother, just give me the old King James Bible. You say, well, I don't agree with you. Well, your church that you go to now used to. And what I'm trying to get this church to do is not let that happen, be it what happened to the church you go to now. Have a vision tonight. Have a vision for the First Baptist Church of Hammond to stay like she is for the sake of those tiny tots in the nursery. For this church to remain the same. Have the same conviction she has tonight. 50 years from now, some old-fashioned hell-raising preacher stands up and preaches drinking's wrong. Smoking's wrong. Mixed bathing's wrong. Women running around here in shorts in public is wrong. Women ought to dress like women. Men ought to dress like men. The old-time religion. I have a vision that the root shall be planted so deeply and the foundation laid so securely that the old church downtown 50 years from now, when many of us are in heaven, still take the same stand she takes tonight. I have a vision for this country to remain free for those kids up in the nursery. I have a vision. I'm not sure this will be carried out, but I'd like to see them grow up to adulthood and marry them. I have a vision for them to be in the will of God, for their little feet to never walk a sinful path, for their little minds to never think a sinful thought, for their little eyes to only see that which is right and pure, for their little ears to only hear that which is decent and right, for their little tongues to only speak that which they ought to speak. For their little feet to always walk in the path of the will of God. For their little hearts to always be warm. Have a vision for those little kids tonight that don't even know what's going on over here. But they will. And by the grace of God, it's our debt to preserve what we have for those kids. Have a vision tonight. For our unmarried ladies and men. Have a vision for this church to fill a void in your life. Have a vision for God to be especially close to you. I have a vision for you to know that you have a special place here, a special place in the heart of your preacher. For those of you who are single, tonight, many of you rearing children alone, we've been through a lot of storms together. Some of you are single because your mate passed away, and you and I have tried to help rebuild your life. Some of you are single because divorce has come your way. And your pastor has not forsaken you when divorce came your way, nor will he ever forsake you when divorce comes your way. I'm not advocating divorce anymore, and I'm advocating drinking, but I'm advocating loving you whether you drink or divorce. If you'll let me help you rebuild your life, I'll do it. We've been through broken dreams together. I said to a young lady last night with whom I was counseling, there she sat, a little child 5, a little child 2.5, a little child 1.5, and some substitute for manhood who thinks he's a man but is a mouse. Broke his marriage vows and perjured his own soul for the promises he made at the altar. And left that woman with those three little kids. Now to me, that's the saddest thing I face. To me, that's sadder than a funeral service. To me, that's sadder than a serious illness. I mean, there's a little lady still in her 20s. Three little children. No job. No income. A substitute for a man. Left her alone for some hussy. And she's got a whole life to live. Alone. Alone. She's got to be a mother and a father. I'm saying tonight I have a vision that you young, that you ladies and you men who are single and adults will realize that your preacher loves you. And then I have a few visions tonight for myself. I have a vision that I'll be able to stay well enough to be what you need. I have a vision to help you in your burdens, fears, rearing your children, in your heartaches and heartbreaks, and yes, even in your sin. I have a vision to be strong enough and well enough to help you. I have a vision tonight to lead this church to be debt-free by 1993. I have a vision tonight for me to have a few years before I go to heaven or in my last years here, to not to have to live with the unbelievable financial burden I carry tonight. You haven't got the foggiest idea what it is. I have a vision that I'll be able one of these days, if it's 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, to hand the next fellow a church where he won't have to keep the finances all the time before him and live in financial need all the time. I have a vision that I can hand this church and this pulpit someday to a man where he won't have to have the financial burden that I've had all these years. I don't mind it, but I want him to have it. I have a vision to repay you for your loyalty to me and to find ways to show you that your preacher loves you. I have a vision tonight that we'll be able to have another generation like we've had. No, you won't perish. You won't perish because there's a vision for you. Your preacher has a vision for you, and you won't perish. It was a Wednesday night, right in the middle of our battle when I first came here. We decided to have a special night where anybody could ask me a question. I mean, we're right in the middle of a war. I mean, inside church war. People all over the country now say to me, you're in a battle, aren't you? No, I'm not in a battle. You won't find a more united church in America than the church right here tonight. But I'm talking about when I first came. That old building over there, auditorium then. We gathered that night. People came on Wednesday night that didn't know the church had service on Wednesday night. People came that night that didn't even know the church had lights. That was a good one. At least I think so. But they came that night. They asked questions. One lady sitting right back here, she stood up and she said with a temper tantrum, she said, "Well, if you stay here, what kind of program are you going to have for the young people?" And I said, "The same kind we have for the adults. They're going to go soul winning. They're going to read the Bibles. And they're going to pray." And when I said that, there's several things she wanted to say all at one time. And all those words went together into one sentence. And she stood and looked at me and said, "Oh, Agabash!" I'm glad that it was all rolled into one sentence like that. Because if she'd have said all three statements, it might have embarrassed all of us. "Oh, Agabash!" She took her daughter, walked out the door. I said to the people after she walked out, I said, "Give me a chance for one generation. Just give me a chance. Just give me a chance to show that the old book will still work. Just give me a chance. I've had my chance. Chairman of our board of deacons, a teenage boy that night. It worked, didn't it? Second assistant chairman of our deacons, a teenage boy that night. He sits over here in the choir on the front row here in the bass section tonight. All over this room tonight are fine Christian adults who are young people and children that night. Ladies and gentlemen, we have not been perfect. We have lost some to my chagrin and sorrow. But we have turned out the finest young people in America. Tonight, as I stand here, a teenage boy that night when that lady walked out stands in Bellevue, Michigan, preaching before a great crowd of people. And his song leader was here that night. And his wife was here that night. And his wife's father and his father and mother, his wife's father and mother are here tonight. I have a vision. And my vision is that everybody in this room will feel how much I love and appreciate you and how many dreams and hopes I have for your future. May God give us what we ought to be and make us what we ought to be and lead us to do what we ought to do. Ask a question tonight. If everybody in this church were like you, what would our future be? If everybody prayed as much as you pray, what kind of future would we have? If everybody read this book and lived in as much as you, what kind of future would we have? If everybody lived like you, watched the same television programs you watch, listen to the same radio programs you listen to, and listen to the same music you listen to, what would be the future? Every single one of us ought to stand like an army and join hands and walk guard around this church for its future. Years ago in Texas, in a neighborhood called Pleasant Grove, near Dallas, I think maybe in the Dallas city limits, if not right at the edge, a little girl got lost, a tiny girl. As I recall, I think she was probably 3 or 4 years of age. She got lost. They put out search parties to try to find her, and they could not find her. Hour upon hour passed. Policemen, firemen, experts, detectives, everybody tried to find that little child. And somebody got an idea. Somebody got an idea that they get at the city limits of Pleasant Grove. That everybody that lives in that town, everybody, line up in one long line and join hands. And walk step by step, joining hands, across that little town in an effort to find that little girl. Only thing that would cause them to break their hands if they came to a building or a tree or something, but they joined hands and kept their hands together. And they got out into that little town in a wooded area, and somebody stumbled across a little body still breathing. They found the child. The mother rushed up. If I remember the story correctly, I think this is accurate. The mother began to scream, "Would never have done it if we hadn't have joined hands. We'd never have done it if we hadn't have joined hands." Let's join hands tonight. Let's keep our vision so the people will not perish. Our Heavenly Father, unusual sermon, but from my heart tonight, from the preacher's heart to the hearts of His people, I long for this old church to stay like she is tonight, influence a nation like she does tonight, for the next generation, not just my own generation, but for the next, because some people I love a lot are in that generation.